Thank you.
Good.
Head off in here.
You ready? Good. Good. All right, we'll go ahead and welcome everybody to the September 9th regular scheduled Westminster City Council meeting. Go ahead and call it to order. Ask to certify quorum. And if you would, please join us with the invocation and pledge of allegiance by Councilman Glimp.
All right, let's pray. Let's Heavenly Father, God of this universe, we acknowledge your greatness and your power in this world and in this community. And we ask tonight that you lead us as a council and as a community as you did the leaders in our history and in our past and what we've seen in your holy word. We pray for our first responders, and we remember them, especially this week with 9/11 having happened about 24 years ago, and how brave and how much of a sacrifice that they make for us and they're willing to make. And we thank you for them. Again, be with us tonight. Help us to be wise in our decisions. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, at this time, we're going to be reading a proclamation for the West Oak Middle School Future Farmers of America. This is a 3-star chapter. Would you guys like to come up here?
Yes.
Since you're not in overalls, you have a blue jacket. We'll take that. This is to honor you guys and girls. Right. Whereas the Future Farmers of America is a premier youth organization that prepares members for leadership, personal growth, and career success through agriculture education. And whereas West Oak Middle School FFA has exemplified outstanding dedication, hard work, and achievement in carrying out the mission of FFA through its projects, community involvement, and student leadership. And whereas the chapter has received national recognition, including being named a 3-star chapter, the highest ranking awarded by the National FFA organization. And whereas this honor is a direct reflection of the commitment of West Oak Middle School students, the dedication of their advisors, and the strong support of parents, staff, and the community. And whereas the City of Westminster recognizes the achievements of these young leaders, bring pride not only to their school, but to the entire community, showcasing the values of leadership, service, and excellence. Now, therefore, by virtue of the authority invested in me as mayor, and on behalf of the City Council and citizens of the City of Westminster, I hereby honor and celebrate West Oak Middle School Future Farmers of America for their remarkable accomplishments and extend best wishes for their continued success in education, agriculture, and leadership. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Who gets to take this with them?
You
do? Thank you. They're going to get a picture right
okay.
Quick. I always have to have proof.
Thank you.
Thank y'all so much.
Well done.
Now we open the floor for public comments. Who do we have?
We have Angela Davis.
Miss Angela Davis. Well, watch this and calm you down. You got 3 minutes.
You're trying to annex my property, my mom's property, into the City of Westminster. I don't want that done. I was made to sign the annex paper. I was told that if I didn't sign it, then I couldn't have power and water, which the water meter's not even on my land. It's on my sister's land beside me. If y'all put it in the City of Westminster, it's not my property anymore. It belongs to the city because there's a mobile home on that property. And if it catches fire, then I can't put another mobile home on their property. I'd put a house there. There's a lot of stipulations that the city of Westminster has. I've lived in the city of Westminster, and I don't like it. That's why I moved to where I'm at, plus my mom inherited me that place.
Okay.
So, please find it. You are not moving in the city of Westminster. I know that y'all are wanting it for taxes, but what do I get out of it? Can y'all answer me that? What do I get? Do I get city sewage out of it? Do I get trash pickup out of it? Can y'all answer me that?
Not at this time. This is just time for you to speak, and we'll speak next. And I will.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we have Mario Suarez.
I have 3 minutes. A little bit about myself. My name is Mario Suarez. I was born and raised in Mexico. Came to the United States in 1965 to learn English. I learned the language during the summer and entered high school where English was spoken. I survived. And I decided before I planned to go back to Mexico, mission accomplished, that I would apply to one college and one college only. And that was Erskine College in New West, South Carolina. I got accepted. Not only did I get accepted, I was thrilled to have received a soccer scholarship, a work scholarship, and God knows why I got an academic scholarship, because with my English high school, I did not make excellent grades, but I did get that. I finished in 1968, and at Erskine College, I met my wife. When we finished I finished in 72, she finished in 73. We married and decided to come to Oconee County to live. My wife is from Seneca, South Carolina, Brown's Funeral Home. She was one of the twins. I got the best twin. I told my brother-in-law he didn't like that. But anyway, we've been married for 53 years. I've been in Oconee County for 50 years. And the reason I'm here is because I'm excited and I love to extend an invitation to you, Councilman, and you all to come to a public reading of my musical play called La Zafra. La Zafra takes place in Oconee County, specifically at the Chattooga Bell Farm, in a city called, and I almost named it Westminster, but I wanted it to be fictitious and more universal. So I call it Cidersville. And I use sites in the county to make my story. Stump House Tunnel. It's at Quina Falls. And very exciting, The Last Chance, the bar. And that's where the fun takes place. The story is about migration. I started writing this story in 2001, finished the first draft in 2006, I just got word last June, this past June, that my play has been selected to be read publicly. They want public comments. I would welcome your comments and help me develop my play even better so that maybe it can be produced. And I'd like to tell you that I am so proud of this county, having lived here for 50 years and having run for election county council. I served 2006 through 2010, not easy years for me. I lost my job in 2008, and I became a migrant worker. That's what the story's about. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
On behalf of South Carolina Bigfoot Festival, we are about a month out tomorrow, so just wanted to kind of give you guys a heads up that we expect to be very, very busy. We had to close our vendor application period much earlier than normal. We have even added extra spaces, so we will have a little over double the number of vendors that we had our first year in 2019. We have started a YouTube channel. We have started a TikTok. We have started all the social media handles at this point. So we are busy and seeing lots of web hits and lots of inquiries from people on Facebook and various other areas. So we expect to be very, very busy. If any of you have any questions, please feel free to let me know. And I have flyers for all of you at the end. So. But we look forward to it, and we thank you for your continued support. And we actually were excited to have been granted some ATAX money from the county, so we are purchasing a truss system to go with the city stage. So that will be available for really anybody who uses the city stage. It's going to live with it. So.
Very good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's it. Okay, thank you all. Next, we have comments from the mayor and council. Anyone from the council?
I just want to say I thought the Apple Festival was fantastic given the weather. It's good turnout, good response to people, and I thought they did a really, really good job this year with what they did. It was a lot of fun while I was up there.
Anyone else?
I'd like to say I appreciate everyone that came to the Rotary Luncheon and very excited. Our citizen of the year, Jane Suttles, part of the Apple Festival and her legacy of many, many work in the city and for everybody who made it possible.
Thank you. All right. This morning I went to the DAR. They had each year we do a proclamation for Constitution Week. This week is September 17th through the 23rd, and they asked me to make sure I mentioned it at the council meeting and let all of you know. It was a good event. I want to let everybody know the community garden has got some interest again. So they're meeting September 15th at 12. I know we have the appreciation luncheon for public safety at the same time, but if anybody gets an opportunity to go by that, we have some more interest from the public in that. And Ms. Davis, to answer your question, you asked a direct question. It is on the agenda for tonight. It's already passed first reading. I think this is the second reading. But the reason we're annexing in is to grow the town. And we try to look at it from our perspective. We love our town. We enjoy being in town. The benefits of being in town are, you know, lower rates on your water and your power. If you got kids playing recreation, you get lower rates. You get to run for election. You get a vote. You know, it's just being a part of the town that you're already living in. So that's why we do that. But it's not just about getting taxes, but for the town to grow and afford the police, the fire, and all the services we provide, we either have to grow or raise property taxes. So that is the reason. There are some benefits to it, but you know, that will come up later tonight. But I just want to answer that for you since you did come. Does anyone have anything else? All right, we'll move on to a special presentation. Oklahoma Joint Regional Sewer Authority. Are you going to do that? You're going to do it? Okay.
Mayor and Council, you each have at your you have a copy of the presentation, and I put it up here for the benefit of those who are sitting in the public tonight. I think most of you all know that the City of Westminster owns the sewer collection lines, and those collection lines feed into the what we call the OJRSA or the Sewer Authority's trunk lines, which are the bigger lines that then take it to the wastewater treatment plant, and then that water is, or that waste is processed there. So as a part of that group with Wahala and with Wahala and Seneca, I'm sorry, I saw Westminster, we have a number of things that are going on. So we're going to do this presentation almost in a workshop type fashion, just like we did the PMPA presentation. Promise this will not take as long as the PMPA did, even though some of the staff were encouraging me to do that. I serve on a current committee. Scott Paris has served on a previous committee. So I'm going to start with the second bullet point on your second slide right here. I'm tasked with you tonight to give you a framework of a new agreement for the OJRSA. I'm here to ask you for three things tonight. I'm here to ask you for questions regarding the process, ask you if you have any comments about the recommendations of the study, and any other matters or any other information you may need to be able to act on in the future. You don't have to be comprehensive tonight, but I am here to take down what you have to say after I make the presentation so that I can take it back to what we call the Reconstitution Committee, which will meet Thursday morning at 9 at the OJRSA, and that meeting is open to the public. And you have an action item tonight, which is a resolution to say that you support the current efforts of the Sewer Authority to reconstitute itself, to create a new governance structure, in essence, to become a brand new entity. That resolution is non-binding, but it is on your agenda tonight. Kylie was telling me right before the meeting started, I was good at PowerPoint presentations because I didn't read all the data, all the words that are on the screens. Well, I need to read the words on the screen, so she kind of jinxed me right before we started. So in 2023, the OJRSA received a $100,000 grant from the South Carolina Rural Infrastructure Authority to conduct what we called a regional feasibility study. That really, in kind of normal speak, translates into find a new way for the OJRSA to govern itself. You recall in a couple years back, there was a lot of division on that board. The city of Seneca wanted additional representation on the board. Wahala and Westminster didn't believe that the founding documents contemplated it the way Seneca did. There were threats of lawsuits. Ultimately, we did not go to court, but there was a lot of consternation back and forth. So the timing of the Rural Infrastructure Authority giving this grant was very good for the Sewer Authority. Mayor Ramey has represented the city on that board a number of times. Scott Paris, our utility director, it's almost like you've been there from the beginning. You've been on that board for 20-some years? Yeah, so if you won't blame anybody for this, you blame Scott there in the long term. And I represent you currently. Scott and I represent you currently, along with David Dial, who's a private citizen, lives in the Richland area. Wahala and Westminster each get to pick a co-representative, and we picked David Dial, I think about a year and a half, not quite 2 years ago. In September of 2024, this is kind of the committees that establish committees that establish committees, so I apologize that there are a lot of names in here. That was not of my doing, but I have to give you what those names are. There was a sewer basin study done back in 2023 that looked at all of Oconee County to determine where sewer was being used and where we believe, or where the consultants believe sewer would be used in the future, meaning where we would grow. I will note that when that study started out, the consultants came to those of us who were involved and said that Oconee County looked like it had a negative growth pattern ahead based off the census data, and by the time we were finished with that study, we were looking at Oconee County going north of 120,000 people. It's currently around 80-some thousand people. So that's just a little bit of background on how we had that basin study, which established where everything is and where we think we were going. We created the ad hoc regional feasibility committee to begin looking at ways to set up a new governance structure. I'll go to the last bullet point on this page. One of the items under consideration with this new study is that Oconee County would become a member of the group. Right now they have invested heavily in sewer, particularly headed down to I-85. And at one point it was under Oconee County's leadership, and then it became its own. So the idea now is to bring it back into the fold, since they have a lot of financial obligations that they have committed to. The members of the committee are listed here. Scott Paris was Westminster's representative. I'll say this group did a lot of work in 6 months. Y'all routinely met for about 2 hours each time. Yeah, they evaluated a lot of information and they made what I believe some very good recommendations that came out of that. One of the recommendations was once this committee was done, it would recommend another committee and then this one would go away. So we've now done that. We've done away with this committee and we've created the new committee. This committee's job was to come up with the ideas. The existing committee's job now is to implement the ideas. So there are 5 major recommendations coming out of the study. And right now, Wahala, Westminster, and Seneca all own sewer collection lines, as I mentioned, and then it goes into trunk lines and then goes down to the sewer plant. The idea here is that we have one entity doing all the sewer work in the county. So where we're headed with this, if you guys agree, if the Seneca City Council agrees, and if the Wahala City Council agrees, that all the sewer assets are going to go under one new authority, and the cities would no longer be in the sewer collection process. There are a number of things that would have to happen. Prior to that, one would be a technical and a financial evaluation of the system. So if you were to ask me and Scott today, what do we think our sewer collection system is worth? I can't tell you. We know that we have assets, and we know that we have liabilities. Right now, there are new sewer lines going in behind Yusuf's restaurant. If y'all seen that trenching going on, that's not associated with the restaurant. That is associated with the grant that the City of Westminster received from the State Rural Infrastructure Authority to improve our sewer lines. After they get finished with putting that line in, they will then come, as we mentioned in the last council meeting, they're going to go right across that intersection of Highway 123 and 24 right there in front of Sphinx, and they're going to tear it all up. It's going to be a little bit of a mess because that's where the sewer lines are. So in order to replace them, we got to go down to them. In some places, it's as deep as 15 feet. The contractor has already saw cut the median. So if you go out there and you kind of see this white sandy looking stuff kind of going across the road right there in front of Ingalls, that's because the asphalt has already been saw cut. We also have another contractor doing sewer improvement work going through the woods, because that's where most of the sewer lines are. Oddly, they're either in the middle of the road or in the woods, not any up very accessible. So I can tell you that those are brand new assets. We're spending $5 million. $4 million came from the SCRIA, $1 million from the city to put in those new sewer lines. That is a brand new asset that would go on our books as an asset and then begin to be depreciated. Now, all the other sewer lines that we haven't touched in a generation or two that are defective, those would be liabilities. So how do you go in and weigh what the liabilities are against what the assets are? That's what we would have somebody come in and do. Right now, there's discussion on the committee that each of the, I say the cities, but you have to think the cities and Oconee County would pay to have that consultant come in, and one iteration of the cost analysis would put Westminster's cost being between $14,000 and $24,000 to participate in that study. I'll be coming back to you in the future with what that would be. I think that covers everything on this one.
Has there been any talk of any kind of fee coming back to the cities?
Yes, so we have talked of 2 different ways that the cities could receive revenue back. One, in order for the sewer authority to be able to issue bills, they have to have water meter data. So right now, the way we do it, whenever we bill customers for water, if they also use sewer, we capture that data and then we send the money that we collect for that sewer use to the sewer authority. So that's based off of the number of gallons you use at your house. You pay an associated value for the sewer. we collect it, and then we send it to the sewer authority. So one way we would be able to receive money back would be able to charge for that meter collection data. Right now, Pioneer Water District charges the OJRSA for the meter data it collects and gives to the sewer authority. I've heard one number that was $4 per read. That seems a little bit high to me, but if that's the number, that's the number. That would probably be a negotiated rate between all the entities and the sewer authority. The other way that the cities could collect funds or revenue from this enterprise, all of the sewer lines, we just mentioned all the places it's going to go, right up the middle of the road, anywhere those sewer lines are in city right-of-way, the city has the right, the ability to collect a franchise fee agreement. So think of any of the, there's a few places where Blue Ridge comes into town, there are places where Upcountry Fiber come through, Spectrum, AT&T, Northland Cable. Anybody that comes into the right-of-way, we have the ability to leverage a franchise fee. Typically, they're 5%. Sometimes they're as low as 3, sometimes as high as 8. So we have contemplated that, but no fee has been established.
And if one entity's taking over this, is there going to be a cost to the cities for them to do that other than just the rates that they're charging?
No, they would collect it strictly through the rates that they charge their customers. Now, we haven't worked out whether we would still have those on our bills or whether or not they would send out their own bills. So there could come a day if it is decided and you would have to agree that on a City of Westminster utility bill that you're going to include the fee for the OJRSA to simplify matters, you would have to agree to that. But that is one way that we could do it, just like we do it now, where we collect and send it to them. It would actually have their name on our bill. The second recommendation is that the authority would be reconstituted with a 5-member board. And we'll get into it just a little bit. Right now, the way the board is assembled, there are 4 representatives from Seneca. The City of Seneca appoints those board members. You have 2. Me and Scott Paris, you get to appoint those 2 members. Walhalla has 2. That council gets to appoint those 2 members. And then our co-representative with Walhalla, David Dial, you and the Walhalla Seneca City, or the Walhalla City Council agreed to appoint David together. This contemplates having a 5-member board instead of 9, and you would not appoint those people. In order for it to work the way the committee recommended, which would be the state delegation, which would be Thomas Alexander, Bill Whitmire, and Adam Duncan right now, they would make a recommendation to the governor, and the governor would appoint the members of the board. This is very similar to the way it works over in Greenville. You often have heard the comparison with REWA. It's that same setup. Typically, in those kind of scenarios, when a local delegation makes a recommendation for who should be on the board, the governor accepts those recommendations and they go through. The thinking there being your local delegation knows the people who are being recommended much better than the governor down in Columbia, who may not know who they are. In order for that to be part of the process, there is a state law that would have to be changed. We have draft language. We have presented that language to Senator Alexander for him to review. Based off of the information I have in front of you today, I don't think he had any disagreement with it. It's rather benign in that it would allow this to take place. It doesn't really have any type of other implication for anybody else. It's mostly just the sewer authority in Oconee County, which also part of that service territory gets down into just a little bit of Anderson County. So it isn't just Oconee, but just that little touch of, I guess, northern Anderson County right where 85 comes through. So that's all of that one. And stop me at any time if you have questions that go through. Continuing on with recommendation number 2, at least one commissioner from the new board would come from each area, meaning Walhalla, Westminster, Seneca, someone from Oconee County. They would be required to be attached to the system. So right now, I serve as your representative. I am not attached in my personal life. My home is not connected to the sewer lines at all. Other members on the board, they are not connected to those sewer lines at all, but they serve at the pleasure of the respective councils that appoint them. I think Scott Mulder is a great example. He is a resident of the city of Seneca, but I do not believe the neighborhood he lives in actually is connected to that. And that's just how I believe it to be. So if it's actually different, forgive me. But we've had some discussions about that. So continuing on with who could be a commissioner, they would serve for 4-year terms. I'll go to that, the second bullet, or the first sub-bullet point there, the second sentence, where it says, in general, if areas outside Oconee County are served, they're talking about that little portion of Anderson County. Got a gangster on me, real quick. Then they would serve at the pleasure of a contract, and the board would not be expanded if Anderson County were to be included. And it's very specific that that language was written that way, that they are not looking to have the board have to keep growing and shrinking over time based off of who would be served. Oh, and I'll mention that last bullet point there, the last sentence where it says all other voting protocols will be defined in the new governance doctrine. Essentially, each person has one vote for each item. So there have been times where we've talked about having a structure where, for instance, the city of Seneca would have a higher weighted vote on matters pertaining to the budget or debt. All of this contemplates one member, one vote. There is no weighted voting being contemplated in any of this current. There we go. Almost done with number two. I didn't write all this, by the way. This is all in the report. I just took what they had in the report and I'm putting it in front of you. So you can see down there at the bottom how they're contemplating each entity or each area would have some type of representation. Again, it may be a process whereby you nominate someone and send that to the delegation. The delegation would then take that nomination, decide if they like it, and then they would forward it to the governor. It may be that you have no say, and the delegation picks them directly from the population, making sure someone from each one of these areas is on there. Keeping in mind, they're trying to create a board structure where there's an odd number. Odd numbers are typically seen as more favorable because you don't end up with a tie if there's a vote. Gosh, I thought we were finished with number two, but here's the last part of number two. So I currently serve for you. I'm on city staff. Scott Parrish serves for you. He's on city staff. The mayor has served for you. This new structure says no city employees and no elected officials, current elected officials, would serve on the board. And that is to take some of what we refer to in the discussions is tribalism. So you have Westminster as a tribe, and you have Seneca as a tribe, and Wahala as a tribe. And a lot of times we're all trying to look out for the best interest of everybody involved, but ultimately we come down to our own areas. The reason for not having staff or elected officials is to help mitigate that tribalism, that one area against another. I think that's all for number two. Everybody tracking so far? Y'all good? You're at least looking at me so far. Everybody's dozed off. Number three, the governance documents will be drafted and supersede all agreements. So right now we're operating under some agreements that were modified back in 2007, that were modified back in 2003, that were modified, I think, in 1998. So what this is saying is take all those documents, throw them in the trash can, and we're going to create new ones, and none of the old stuff matters anymore. I don't think that's a bad thing, because over time what happens is There were some lines written that were intended to say one thing in a newer version, but there was an old line in a previous version that said the opposite. They're still in play, and we have to figure out which one we're going to go with. That gets confusing. So this is saying we're going to do away with all the old stuff. We'll have all brand new stuff. I think that that plays really well for a new authority. Point number four, as I mentioned, we had a committee that established a committee that then did away with itself, and then we established a new committee. So now here's the existing committee that we have. We did away with the ad hoc implementation committee, which oddly enough was not charged with implementation. They were charged with drafting a plan. And now we have what's called the ad hoc reconstitution committee, which oddly enough is charged with implementation. I don't know why we went through all these different crazy names, but I just wanted to point that out because in all these documents, they use a lot of language to say things very unplainly. And I've been an advocate for us being very plain spoken, and I'm not winning at the time, at the moment. So now you see who is on what we are now referring to as the Ad Hoc Reconstitution Committee. I am on that group. There's one representative from each city. Chip Benley from the Appalachian Council of Governments, Amanda Brock from Oconee County. Chris Eliezer is sitting on the committee as an active member of the committee, not as a staff person to the committee. And then we have three ex officio members who are there as technical advisors. Joel Jones is the former CEO and president of REWA. He has a lot of insight. He's retired. He is there as a technical advisor. Catherine Amidon, who works with Bolton and Mink. You may recall Bolton and Mink did our downtown master plan back in 2002-2003. But she has Bolton and Mink, along with another consulting group, are the ones who did the larger basin study. So they have a wealth of knowledge about all things Oconee County sewer related. And then Angie Medlin used to work with W.K. Dixon. It's got a new name now.
Ardura.
Thank you, Arlene. I can never remember Ardura. Angie has a lot of insight and helps keep us connected with this South Carolina Rural Infrastructure Authority. Keep in mind, they funded the original study. They are very interested in our progress, and they are very interested in the outcome. So Angie does a great job, not just giving us technical advice, but also in helping make sure we stay in touch with the folks down in Columbia. And then step five said that we need to have a good and robust communication plan. I'm boiling a lot of work and a lot of documents down to you tonight. I've sent you a lot of this information over time. We've talked offline a number of times about what all this is, but the average person out in the public may or may not have heard it. If they aren't reading the Seneca Journal or listening to WGOG, they may not know anything about it. I can't imagine someone in our community not doing both of those things, by the way. I like giving y'all both a hard time, especially when you're in Seneca. But anyway, we need to have a robust communication plan so that everybody knows what is going to happen. Ultimately, I think for Westminster residents, I think the customers' rates are going to go down. If you look at the rates from Westminster, Seneca, and Wahala right now, Westminster's are the highest, then Seneca's, then Wahala's. When you put us all together and you have kind of that economies of scale instead of these fragmented groups and each of us having different work crews and everything else, when you put all that under one head, I think Westminster's rates come down. I think maybe one or two of the other members goes up. We don't know what that's going to be at this point in time. But I've looked at enough of the data to believe that the folks in Westminster are very likely to see a decrease in those rates, at least initially. Now, over time, you know what happens with time. Rates tend to go up over time due to inflation and things like that. You will be very critical as we put the communication plan together. We very likely will the city councils will be our test subjects. So if all of those of us who know kind of the ins and outs of all the technicalities of this, if we can't explain it to you, then we probably can't explain it to anybody else either. So Hope you enjoy being test subjects. So I'm not going to read all this. I'll let you read it. But this was the statement at the end of the report. So I'll just give you a second and let you read it so you can read it in that committee's words rather than hear me prattle on.
How confident do you think that OJRC is and all the city councils coming on board with this? Is there anybody who thinks you're giving a kickback?
So right now, I believe that Wahala has done a workshop with their council, and their council had questions. I don't know if they passed the resolution. I believe that Seneca's city council has had a workshop. I've not heard if there were any questions. And I believe that Oconee County Council has had a workshop. I can only go by what I hear in the room with the administrators and other folks, but it seems like we're all tracking in kind of the same way, that we all want something different than what we currently have. There are going to be times, the hang-up is going to be that financial and technical analysis. You know, we've got something that is of value, but we also have something that, even though it's of value, it has liabilities associated with it. So what's that going to end up being? I think that probably becomes the tipping point when we get to some of the final decisions, and then once they start projecting the rates. Now, I'm predicting, and I could be wrong, I'm no better than a weatherman. You know, I get it right at least 20% of the time, that the Westminster rates will go down. But if there's an analysis where too many customers' rates would go up, I could see there being pushback. I would push back for Westminster if that were the case, if we thought our rates were going to go up and all coming in together. So we'll have to see. I think those are kind of the two inflection points, if you will. What does that financial analysis say each system is worth, and what's the sewer authority going to do with it, and then what's going to happen to the customer rates going down the road?
Kevin, the whole time I was involved with it, we were always, you've got it listed here, lack of funding. We always had a lack of funding. I mean, everything we saw was we should raise the rates. And especially now that they're going to be including the franchise fee plus the cost from the cities for the water meter readings, I don't see how it couldn't go up. I mean, unless y'all have talked about something that I've missed. But, everything we saw looked like you were going to see rates going up. And I don't think there's nothing we can do about it. I mean, I think it's inevitable.
Well, and you may be right, Mayor. It may be that there is an increase because of the other costs associated with it. But what I can relate to you right now is I'm going to say I got three things. I always tell the staff I got three things. So if I get two in, I can't remember what the third one is. Maybe I'll pull it back out of my brain. The first is, right now we pay around $600,000 to the sewer authority annually for what we owe them.
Mm-hmm.
But our sewer budget is $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
So we need about $400,000 a year for us to run our part.
Mm-hmm.
Well, right out of the gate, we won't have to contribute that $400,000. We won't need the staff, we won't need the equipment, we won't expend the overtime, the materials, the resources. So that's $400,000 that comes out. Now, I don't know what Seneca and Wahala's budgets are, but I would imagine that they have a percentage of their budget that goes to what you can just say O&M, mm-hmm. operation and maintenance, that they wouldn't have to pay. Now, the sewer authority would have to do that O&M, but when they distribute that, right now we have a vac truck, and we use that vac truck on sewer issues and we use it on water issues. I would suggest we should keep it because it really helps when we have a big water issue. We got some pictures, interesting pictures of our guys up to their necks in a mud hole, and that vac truck comes in and pulls all that mud out so that they can actually work on the water line break. So we may have to keep that vac truck, but down the road, if we were going to replace it, we might replace it with something much smaller or different. Well, the sewer authority is going to have the bulk of that equipment. The couplings, the materials, everything else that goes with it, the sewer authority is going to have that. The cost of personnel is typically one of those that's always going up.
Mm-hmm.
Health insurance, workers' comp, everything that we, salaries, everything is always associated with it. We only have two positions right now that are fully funded through sewer, but a portion of my salary, a portion of yours, Kylie's, Reagan's, and Scott's all come out of that, mm-hmm. that budget. So you're able to take that out. I said I had three things, so that was one. And what was your question again? Do we need to replay it?
No.
So the other would be, I think you asked why would the rates not go up?
Right.
There you go.
Yeah, we always hear there's a lack of funding. We always needed to increase the rates, always needed to, and then now we're adding additional cost. And to your response there, I think sewer authority is going to have to hire additional people to manage three cities, so it's just going to transfer that O&M cost. But I'm just curious as to how much.
The other is, we have seen a significant amount of growth.
Yeah.
So even riding in today, you all remember we sold the Riley Street property to a local home builder. He built three homes on it. That was within the existing infrastructure. They essentially tapped into the sewer line. There was no new sewer lines created for those three homes. Adam Smith around town, I made a joke to him the other day. He didn't quite get that. You know, back in the day, you had the Sears and Roebuck houses. Well, pretty soon they're going to call them the Adam Smith houses. He didn't know about the Sears and Roebuck, so it was just a long ago. So you have the infill development going on. But then, Mayor, also think about Cooper's Mill, Heirloom Farms. That sewer infrastructure is brand new. We should get at least a decade, maybe 15 years out of that sewer line before you start to have any issues. Well, you've got new development like that all over Oconee County. Mm-hmm. We all know a bulk of that's coming out of Seneca, but there's a certain amount coming out of Wahala too. So you have new investment in new sewer lines, not by us. This is paid for by the developers. And so we're just reaping the benefit of that revenue off those new lines right now. Now we're paying for the old lines, so it's a little bit moving over. And then I had a third point that may just be lost into the...
You can get back to it. You can circle back on
that. Okay, well,
you circle back.
If I come back, there's one more thing I was going to say. When you look at some of the financial strapping that the sewer authority had, is that it could not go out and have its own debt. Because as the bond markets look at the sewer authority has three customers, Seneca, Wahala, and Westminster. And they're all under contractual agreements, which means there's nothing really that says that any of us could just stop paying. Well, if it's its own authority, it has its own bonding approval then, because it then has its own direct customers that it could go out and borrow its own money. I will say that over the last 2 years, the financial condition of the sewer authority has greatly improved. Mm-hmm. Some of that has come from the growth. But then as they keep increasing the tap fees, impact fees. Those have really accumulated. A great example is Sphinx. I went to Sphinx right before I came here. When Sphinx paid its impact fee, it was $100,000. So that was $100,000, and I could argue they aren't creating $100,000 worth of impact in the existing lines. Now, they do down at the plant. The new Target development, I think that impact fee is around $1 million. And that's just for the Target building. That's not for any of the other out parcels that go out there. So when you start looking at the collection of those impact fees and the tap fees, I've seen the bottom line of the sewer authority keep going up over the last couple of years. So I think everything you're saying is right. Some of it may not, I may be simplifying it too much. Some of it may just be a shift from us to the sewer authority. But ultimately, I think the economies of scale kick in and we start to realize some savings. Or we at least start to see the rates of increase less than they would have been otherwise.
Gotcha.
But again, I'm like the weatherman. I'm only right 20% of the time.
One final question.
Okay.
I know there's a timeline on this. It's tied in with the delegation, RIA, or whoever's pushing for this. Is that timeline, we have to do this now. Need to do this now. And each of the three cities have some really big elections coming up. So if we all agree to this resolution, November, you get different councils and it changes, what's going to happen?
So we've talked about that, because that is a real concern on the committee, because all, like you said, all three councils have a number of positions that are up, new candidates that have filed. The resolution you have in front of you tonight is non-bond.
Mm-hmm.
It is saying that as of we see it right now, we are in support of what
mm-hmm.
you have been presented with. If we get down the road, let's say we get to January, February of 26, and there are new thoughts across the county or in any of the cities that we should be doing something different, we have time to make some adjustment. Now, what is that adjustment going to be? I don't know. But you bringing up timeline was very fortuitous. It's almost like you have a printout in front of you of what I have next on the PowerPoint. That original committee set timelines in place,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not going to read through what all of them are, but you can see the first two up there we have already completed on time. And we're on task to complete the rest of the ones that you see right here. I'll say that last one, the financial and technical evaluation, I got an email right before I came over here today. That's why I was a few minutes late. It kind of caught way too much of my attention at looking at how we would fashion the scope of work for a financial and technical evaluation of the systems. That's going to have to engage a consultant to do that. 120 days may push it. I mean, that's 4 months. That's really not much time to get that done. But moving on, there is a hedge factor in here, Mayor, speaking mm-hmm. to your talk of time. So you can see we've got delineated days until you get to this screen, and then you get down and it says, okay, within 60 days of that, and then within 15 months of that, meaning there may be a time to get the state law changed. We can't go get the state law changed next month. Even if everybody in the General Assembly agreed, they don't come back into session until January.
Right.
So we can have everything ready. We can have it pre-filed. We can follow the advice of our delegation as to who may not like it down in Columbia, who may like it. I see it as benign, but you never know who's going to see it as a political opportunity to try and do something for their own communities. There is what I would call a fail-safe in here that says if this legislation isn't passed in a timely manner, that we would dissolve the current system and come up with an intermediate board that would wait for that state law to change, or wait in hopeful expectation of that state law to change.
Mm-hmm.
So as you kind of look through this, you see we went from definitive dates, 120 days after that last activity, to, okay, well, we've got to start hedging the bets. And so pretty much everything but the first one on that screen is starting to hedge. We want these things to happen. We think a reasonable time was, I'm kind of looking at the one, 15 months to get the technical and financial evaluation done. But you can see that the goal is to hope to have everything done by August of 2027. From what I see, that seems doable. But to your point, with elections this November, we don't know who. You're going to have at least one new person on this council.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt about that. What dynamic does that change for us? What happens in Seneca? What happens in Wahala? What may we need to do different? You aren't locking into anything at this point. That will come further down the road, which I believe won't happen until those new councils are seated.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about on that on the committee on purpose to slow walk that until we get past the election, given that there are so many seats across the three cities that are up for election in November.
Yep.
Is that
yes.
help at all?
It does.
Okay, so now you heard me prattle and ramble. Oh, I am a few minutes ahead of where I was with PMPA. Oh, I forgot I had this one. So I did, y'all might remember when we did PMPA, I asked ChatGPT to tell me the pros and the cons. Well, I asked ChatGPT again. It gets pretty close. You know, I didn't modify this at all. And I just said, hey, what happened if the city of Westminster was to give all its sewer assets to OJRSA? I typed it in just like that. It knew who the city, I had to say Westminster, South Carolina, because there's a bunch of Westminsters out there. But it picked up on who the OJRSA was like that, and this is what it spit out. I think this is pretty close in terms of, and if you were to look at potential benefit as being pros and drawbacks as being cons, I guess ChatGPT is getting a little politically correct in how it uses its language. I would say probably the greatest drawback is you lose some of that local control. Mm-hmm. So think when Heirloom Farms came in, we talked to that developer out there on Seed Farm Road. Was there capacity for that sewer to go into the trunk lines owned by the OJRSA? The initial answer was no. Well, after Mayor, you and I looked at that analysis, I spotted some what I thought overly conservative estimates and flow in that, and we asked them to run it maybe three or four more times before they finally, what I'd say, got it right, and they said, yeah, there's flow there. That flexibility goes away. Our ability to ask them to keep running those models, you become completely at their mercy whether or not they do it. I think that's the biggest loss, or that's the biggest drawback, if you will, that comes with that. I'm not concerned about representation. You all may or may not know David Dial. He's not a member of any city. He has represented us really well. You may or may not know Marty McKee. He represents the city of Seneca. He's not on Seneca City Council. He's not on Seneca City staff. And he represents Seneca really well. Those two gentlemen, in my opinion, give me hope that you can go out there and you can find people who have no experience in this whatsoever and can still provide good governance to that sewer authority. Those two guys have done an excellent job. And they really didn't know a whole lot about the sewer authority when they came on the board. And I would tell you right now, those two gentlemen are pros at it. Maybe I won't trip when I come back out this time. All right, so decision considerations. So I'm gonna just ask, Reagan, help me take notes because I gotta report answers back. So are you willing to move forward with what I've presented to you today? And if I've presented it too slanted, I mean, I feel like I've tried to convince you to do this, and I apologize. I want it to be a lot more objective, but I've been so deep into it, I'm really not that objective anymore. I believe it's a good thing for you to do, but take my comments aside and give me your gut reaction, your honest reaction. What are you looking for? Are you willing to move forward with what's presented today? You have a resolution, and when we get to it on the agenda, you can still vote no if you want to. But what would you tell me now? Are you inclined to say yes? Do you have hesitation?
I think yes.
I do too, and I would like to see some numbers on whatever they look like.
So in terms of what's the asset liability thing?
Yeah, and if there's going to be a rate increase or not.
Rates.
When it comes down to it. Because I think that's what everybody in the city is really going to look at, is, hey, is it's going to save us money or not.
What's my cost?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything else? All right.
My concern was the representation because of the work that's been done for all these years, but I know David Dial. So I think we're very fortunate in that.
Yeah, David represents us very enthusiastically. I think he enjoys it, which I don't want to say anything weird about David Dial, say he enjoys being on a sewer board, but
he loves.
He spent a lot of time studying it. He really invested himself in it, and I think he understands it as well as anybody, as well as I do at this point. Are you willing to consider a new board structure, meaning you don't get to pick who's going to be on it? And it's not your administrator that you can boss around.
I like the idea that there's not a weighted vote coming from some cities, and I'm not gonna name that city.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's necessary.
Yeah.
Have I given you guys a copy of the state law changes?
No.
I probably have dropped them in one of those admin reports that's like 500 pages. I'll send those to you so you can have a look at it. But essentially, it is, when I say it's very benign, it says, hey, we want it to be this way. General Assembly, will you allow us to have it this way? And it's pretty much as I outlined. So I won't hold you to that one right now, but I'll get it to you. If you have any feedback on that, let me know, and we can present it so you can talk some more about it as an assembled council.
So what happens if one of our cities just says no, any of it can participate?
Yeah, so right now, the sewer authority holds what's called the NPDES permit. And I'm going to try and impress you by remembering what that name is. The National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System, NPDES. Did I get that right?
Yeah.
Look at me.
You
got that right, Armin?
Noted.
So that is the permit that the state issues for an entity to discharge clean wastewater out into the environment. So right now that discharge is going into Lake Hartwell. So you have to have a permit for that. That's what it's called. The sewer authority holds that permit, which means for Wahala, Westminster, and Seneca, we have to abide by the regulations set by the sewer authority, or we will be in violation of that permit. The sewer authority can hold us individually accountable for that. Well, we don't do that. We don't go against that permit. We do what it says. State law changes. The Environmental Protection Agency may issue new rulings, and so that all is held by the sewer authority. Well, if a city decides not to go along with this, they will be required to go get their own NPDES permit, which will be quite a lift. If we have to do it, we'll do it, but I won't look forward to it. It's kind of like eating my Brussels sprouts, even if I have to, but really don't like it. Scott's going to be really busy if we have to get that NPDES permit of our own. That is kind of the stick in all these reports to say, hey, cities, y'all need to come along with this, because if you don't, you're going to have to go get your permit. We aren't going to let you operate under ours. That's a pretty big stick, to be frank. So if I get to number four, are you willing to take our sewer lines and say, all right, you can have them? Now, we put stipulations, we put a value on it, we put terms and conditions. One thing that we've talked about is whatever those value, each system may be valued different, but the terms and conditions have to be equally applied across all cities. So we aren't going to get a different set of terms than Seneca or Wahala is going to get. Now, our value may be different because of the size of our system, certainly smaller, but the terms and conditions would be the same. We will also have to, what I'm going to say, disentangle our bond covenants. So when we borrowed the money from the USDA to do water system improvements, our pledge to repay that back was across what we call the combined utility system. That's electric, water, and sewer. Now, across our three utilities, sewer loses money. The other two make money. So we're, in essence, going to be going to the USDA and say, let us get rid of the money loser in this. But it's still a federal bureaucracy you've got to go through. The other is when we did the $4.8 million bond deal here a couple months ago, or in the spring. Gosh, I can't remember what bank I went to. We'll have to go to that bank and ask them, will they let us modify the terms of that bond? Now, they may, and Wahala's got the same thing. You know, they borrowed money for their water plant. They may have done other borrowings. Seneca, I saw a list of their bonds. Gosh, I want to say they're like six or eight that they've got to figure out how to disentangle. One is you go to the folks that loaned you money and you ask them, hey, can I take this particular thing out? We create new bond documents and then we move forward. The other way may be what you call a defeasement. Defeasement just means you go ahead and pay it off early. There is no penalty on our $4.8 million bond for early repayment. The USDA bond, the reason I really like that one is it is at a little less than 2% for 40 years. You really don't get better terms than that. But we can still go and ask, and we can call in Senator Scott and Senator Graham's office to come in and insist. That's the kind of stuff those guys really like to do. So anyway, I'm going to go back. Are you, even after hearing all that, are you okay doing that? Are you okay handing over the lines?
I mean, nothing's set in stone right now, so it's easy to say yes.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. You don't have what we call a full term sheet right now in front of you. You're just looking at this proposal, and as I'm presenting it to you, this is as full as it gets, what I've given to you today.
Well, Kevin, I think we've talked about sewer ever since I've been here. It's always been a loss, and you mentioned it a while ago that a lot of people in the town don't realize how much money we lose on sewer, but it's a service we have to provide to keep a town. And consolidating with all other cities and the sewer authority, I think, is always a good thing. I mean, you know, we talked about that when Wahala built the water treatment plant, when Pioneer did. If you consolidate, you've got less overhead expenses overall. But I do have a concern. I don't think there's anything we can do about it, that our customers, and it's not going to affect the city. I mean, we're not going to be responsible. People can't complain to us about it. But when that entity does not have elected officials to hold accountable, them rates can do whatever they do. And I'm just a little bit concerned about what that could go to, because, you know, we've seen elections change cities just based on people's perception of utility rates, whether it was true or not. And sewer rates, we know to keep those down just to try to keep our customers happy, and I'm just not sure what a separate entity would do. But there again, you know, what other options will we have?
I think that's a great question to pose to that group and see what the answer can come out.
Because they're certainly not going to lose money to keep it there.
No, they're not. And we've lost money on sewer. We know we have. And because we have to make our community happy, and the, you know, the constituents that elected us, you know, we try every way we can to hold those prices down.
Well, and to your point, back when you were on the board and I was on the board, we were presented with rate options at 25%.
Mm-hmm.
We approved 5.
Yeah. That's where my question
come
from a while ago.
We want to come back home and not get run back out again.
Exactly.
So I think that's a great point.
So by saying that, Pioneer Water, you know, they have, I don't know, do they have public hearings for their community to come in?
They have public meetings.
Well, they have public meetings, but I mean, would the people in Oconee County have an opportunity to go to that 5-member board and speak out about if the rates got out of hand or they felt like too much development was going in one direction, not the other?
Well, I would say, from what I know right now, I would expect so, because this would still be a public entity,
mm-hmm.
which would be required, but I'll make that point that it must remain a public, open to the public for its board meetings, which would have to be, I think. I'll make that note.
Thank you, sir.
In case you just go ahead and beat on your representative and senator that appointed them.
Yeah. That's all you can do.
So we talked about the timeline, that there's some flexibility there. But yet we are pushing hard to try and make this happen, because when the SCRIA initially gave the grant, the word that we got back from Columbia before we even did anything is, you can have this money, but you got to agree to do what it says.
Mm-hmm.
And we all knew what that meant.
Yep.
Do you need any additional information that I didn't present tonight? Any other questions that come up? I mean, those questions you gave me are good, and I'll take them back, and I'll make sure that whatever the response is, it won't be next week or anything. It'll probably be within the next month and a half where we have those answers back. Is there anything else that you would need to know, or any other concerns that you have?
Just financial. I'd love to see a fee schedule, what that looks like. I'd love to see what it's going to cost to have somebody come out and evaluate our property.
Yeah, like you said, we're putting $1 million in right now to something we're about to give away.
I hope we get compensated for it a little bit.
We hope.
Yeah, tell them that, you know, just because we're a little smaller than Seneca, our stuff's real clean. It's nice.
Got chugging water running through it.
Right.
sleep tonight and you wake up at 3 a.m., you don't have to call me then, but you can send me any comments over the next couple of days or even the next couple of weeks that come to mind, or give me a call, text, however you might choose to do that. Reagan, how do I turn this off? Well, then it would still have a light shining on the side. Thank you. Thank you.
So Thursday at 9?
Thursday at 9 will be the next committee meeting. It'll be at the OPRSA. It is open to the public. And if anybody cares, it is on YouTube.
PMPA meeting that day, too.
It's next Thursday. PMPA should be before Thursday.
The 18th is what I got on the calendar.
Yeah, but this weekend, the 18th. This week is the 11th.
Okay, so it's this week.
This week.
Okay, yeah, gotcha, sorry. Gotcha. Okay.
This week, September 11th, 9 a.m. And it's on YouTube if you want to watch it. You just Google OJRSA YouTube and have fun for now.
Okay, very good. Anybody have anything else? Any more questions? All right, move on to public hearings. Item one is community development block grant closeout.
Yeah, Mayor, I would like to, do you want to say anything, Arlene? Arlene Young from the Appalachian Council of Governments. You all may know, whenever we get a community development block grant, the Appalachian Council of Governments administers that on our behalf. Arlene has been our administrator on that particular grant and has done a great job. She keeps me in line, so you can imagine the challenge that has been. And we are required to do a public hearing to close the grant out. And what that means is you open a public hearing, you allow anybody that would like to speak about what we did at Anderson Park and that grant process, construction process, you allow them to have a chance to speak, and then you close the public hearing. Arlene is here. We circulated a sign-in sheet, which she now has a copy of that. She will have to put this in her final report that goes to the South Carolina Department of Commerce. And then we'll head to close out on that grant, which once we get it closed out means we can then open up to start looking for other projects through that funding source.
Well, let's do it.
So
get more
you
money.
Open it up, and anybody that's here that would like to speak about that grant project, things you like, didn't like, the cost of it, what you wish we had done, not done, this would be a great time to say your piece. If you don't have anything, that's fine too.
All right. Need a motion to open a public hearing for the Community Development Block Grant?
Motion open.
Second.
Motion second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Floor is now open. Anybody have any comments? You just heard what you need to comment on. Dick, you got anything? Anybody on council? Nope.
Well, I'd like to say thank you very much. I think there's so much work went into it. My favorite part was watching our city employees, and I just enjoyed working and being glad to be there. I love to drive by every day. I see birthday parties, and I see families there every day. So I think this just been a real blessing so far.
No one? I don't need a motion to close.
Motion second.
Motion second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you, Ms. Young. Line us up the next one.
Well, I would like to add there's been a financial monitoring and a program monitoring on that project, and there were no findings, so that does, you know, clear your path to apply for future funding.
Very good.
The park project, the streetscape project, and the plaza project, I think that's just going to create some synergy, big catalyst.
And we have more vacant land. We'll put something else on it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mayor.
Reagan's going to give you the sign.
Reagan's going to need to apply for a grant for you.
Yeah. All right. At this time, we're going to open a public hearing for the discontinue the use of fluoride in the water treatment process. Do we have a motion to open that one?
So moved.
Second.
Motion second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anybody? About the fluoride? You want to give a little quick rundown of what we're doing just so everybody knows?
Where's Scott Periscope? Right when I need him.
He took off.
So in our water treatment process, we use fluoride. I think you all know that we get our water off Chala River. It's some of the best water, I think, in the state. We don't have a very intensive water treatment process at all to clean it. A joke I make when I go around the state is we basically shake the dirt and the sticks out of it, and then we send it to the customers. That's not quite all that we do. We do have to treat it with some chlorine, and we do put fluoride in it. Process of putting fluoride into drinking water was started back, Scott went in the 50s.
In the 40s.
Yes. In the 40s, and that was because tooth decay was a big issue across the country. As time has progressed, and most of us have toothbrushes and access to toothpaste, which have fluoride in it, it has become a bigger, thing to do. I don't know if it's Scott, fill in the blanks for me. You were out of room and I had to start talking.
Sorry about that. The idea with removing the fluoride is just some of the more recent studies that have come out with some of the negative side effects, the costs associated with it, and also the other sources that are out there, because there's a lot more potential for higher dosages when you have it added to the drinking water, because almost all toothpaste has it. Other products have it included as part of the, the government's recommendations for preventing tooth decay. But some of the studies that have come out over the last several years have shown that there are some issues with mental development for young children. It can cause some issues there for some, that's primary issues, developmental issues, and also bone issues for older citizens. It can cause bone decay. Loss of bone density and things like that. So, and it's also a hazard to the staff because our process works. They have 50-pound bags that they have to mix. There's a process they have to go through to make a mix, and there's dust that they can inhale. They do have protective equipment, but there's still going to be an exposure in between. Removing the mask, there may still be some dust in the atmosphere at the time. So there are several reasons to remove it, and I think the reasons to remove it outweigh the potential benefits or potential effects, beneficial effects to the folks that are receiving it.
Cynic and Wahala's done it, haven't
they? Yes, we actually, when I was in Wahala, we took it out about 7 or 8 years ago,
mm-hmm.
And they actually used a liquid form of the chemical, so it was a little less hazardous to the operators that were using it. The powder method that we use actually amplifies that for our folks at the plant currently. So Seneca took it out within the last couple of years. They've removed it from their process. So we're the last water producer in the county that does add fluoride to the system.
That includes pioneers. I confirm pioneers.
Did you?
Well, I don't know then. Wahala took it out 7 years ago. Look what's going on up there now. I want my fluoride.
Well,
put that in the paper.
I've got one comment. He's not here, but the dentist did call me, a local dentist we've had here for years. He strongly opposes this, and something I didn't know, fluoride seals off the little porous fine lines in your teeth. That's his big thing, and he gave me a whole technical explanation of why we should do it. So I said, we're going to have a public hearing. You can come do that. So he didn't. I told him I would share what he told me. He'd opposed it. So I've done my duty. So, but anybody have anything else? Anybody else concerned with that? Okay, motion to close the hearing.
Motion to close.
All in favor say aye. All right, move on. Routine business. Comments from the utilities director, Mr. Paris. You're on the floor again.
I just told
you. Come on again. One more time.
Next thing I've got is our skip projects, phase one and phase two. Phase one, we're told today that they have completed testing of everything so far. They have one more section to go through down on Mimosa. Not a long section, but they'll be finalizing that soon, and then they'll catch up with paving and cleanup. So they're getting close to the end of their project, their portion of it. Phase two section, as Mr. Bronson mentioned, I'm sure many of you have seen where they've started work there by uses, and they're making their way over towards Oak Street with that. They've hit some water there from some of the groundwater, but that hasn't slowed them down. They've made good progress so far. Probably 2 weeks out from getting that section completed. They're actually moving really quickly through there. And after that, the next section will be 123. The section at the intersection of 24 and 123 is something the contractor is considering an alternative method there to reduce the impact on traffic. They have not decided which method they would use yet. So as soon as we know that, we'll relay that to you. One option is pipe bursting, which will allow them to have a small pit they work out of on either side, but it would be much shorter duration and less impact to traffic. So I think that's their leading option right now. But so once they determine that their option of choice, we'll let you know. Because they don't want to be tied up in that intersection any longer than they have to be with traffic control and the impact to drivers and schools in general. So.
Have they discussed downtime yet for that area?
Not yet, because they don't. Once they make their decision on the method, then the open cut would be the longest impact overall. But they're trying to avoid that at this point. So they have to let us know something more than just the next few weeks. So we'll keep you updated on that.
And Scott, while we're expecting a slowdown in traffic, we don't anticipate that there will be a stoppage of traffic flow in any direction.
No, there will be traffic controls there for alternating directions of traffic. So there may be a few minute delay while one lane goes, the other one is halted, the other one would then switch over. But there will be only traffic going through that intersection. That was one thing that we stressed to them, is maintain traffic flow through there, because that is a very busy intersection. So if they are able to do the trenchless methods that they're looking at, that's going to be even better. There'll be even less impact. So we always have our friendly neighborhood police chief that has offered his assistance with some officers and blue lights to help control his willing smile there. He's helped us out already when the contractor was out doing their preliminary check to see which option may work. And that made a big difference, just having their presence out there. Thank you.
But we don't have a start date?
Not on that section yet. No,
okay.
They've got those, they got the median cut ready to go, but we don't have a start date yet on that particular section.
Very good.
Okay. Any other questions?
Thank you, sir. Next, comments from the city administrator, Mr. Bronson.
I'll make it quick. The Horton Outdoor Recreation Center complex, fields as we call them, if you're right out there, you see there's still a lot of activity going on. All the lights are up. I can't wait for them to do a testing of the lights so we can see how that's going to illuminate the fields, but also how it's going to impact the neighborhood out there. Very interested in seeing how that's going to be. The concession stand slash bathroom has been framed. We're waiting on a transfer of the permit from Mammoth to AMW. There is a little bit of a hang up in getting the DOT encroachment permit, because Hall Street is a state road, so we've got to get that permit transferred from Mammoth over to AMW. And it got hung up sometime last week, so trying to shake that loose. As soon as that gets loose, you should see activity, that concession stand start to go vertical. Scott Paris was great. He got out the topsoil that they were going to use on the field. Scott had some concerns that the organic matter was a bit too much, meaning that as over time it was going to decompose and we were actually going to lose some height. So he jumped in there, pulled some folks together, and we have impressed upon Mammoth the importance of using a different type of soil. So they have started bringing in a different mixture that has less organic matter in it. And I think that came down to their lack of familiarity with local conditions. If you go out there, they are continuing to install fencing. I saw saw today right before the council meeting where they had actually done, it's where they spray the grass. What's that called?
Hydroseeding.
Thank you. They've hydroseeded one whole bank out there, and you'll see more of that. Once all the topsoil is brought in, I believe the irrigation is in on the bottom two fields. Is it on the top one too, Scott?
Yes, this should be done now also.
So with that, the next step will be to get that topsoil down, and then the grass and turf will come in on top. So you'll see in a relatively short amount of time, kind of a transformation will go for having a mostly orange look to a mostly a green look. So we're all ready for that. And I think that's all we have, unless you have any questions.
Kevin, how does it look for us taking over once they get off the out of the area as far as handling the maintenance of it?
I think we're fine. Herb and I talk routinely about how we're going to manage everything, how we're going to access the main fields from different areas where we intend to put his facility building. We have cut sheets on the turf. We have advertised for the assistant director position, and within that assistant director position, one of the qualifications we're looking for is someone with turf experience. I hope we're able to get somebody in here sooner rather than later on that. Very likely we're going to have to let that turf mature before we start to play on it, which is going to take us into the next calendar year. So this could be one of those things where we get to look at a really great facility for a little while before we can play on it. But I think it'll be well worth the wait.
Thank you.
Give you a streetscape update. Arlene hinted at the fact that we have a community development block grant to redo a portion of Main Street in between Lucky Street and Retreat Street, and also to do the section of Retreat Street between Windsor and Main. That is out to bid. The bids are due
September 22nd, Monday the 22nd at 2 p.m.
So we expect to have those bids in for your approval at the October council meeting. That project has a number of funding sources. The Community Development Block Grant is one, Appalachian Regional Commission is two, C funds is three, and then we have some local bond money that would go in there. For some reason I was thinking there was another, but that's it. So you'll have something to look at in October unless something changes. We're very pleased about that. We had a pre-bid meeting a week or so ago. Adam, whatever day I waved at you when you drove by. I'm sure you remember that day. We had a pre-bid meeting at the gazebo, and we had 10 contractors.
At least.
Yeah, so we had a lot of interest in that job. And nearly all of them are from the upstate. They're pretty local folks. If you want to see the list of that, I believe we put that on the website, so we'll be happy to share that. And I think we dropped it in an admin report too, but
I believe so. If not, it'll be in the next one.
So the fun part for you, Council, about this streetscape is very likely it is going to be under construction by December 5th. And if in your head you're thinking, gosh, I can't wait for December 5th because that's Arbor Day, you're right. That's the day we get to plant a bunch of trees. And if you can't, don't recall, December 5th is when we have the Christmas parade. So we are going to have to very likely have an alternate route for the Christmas parade. Have everybody working on it. We'll propose that to you if we see that that's going to be absolutely necessary. We want the contractors to get in and get out before we have Apple Festival again next year. That's not the fun part. The fun part is we need to decide where we're going to put the Christmas tree. So we have been putting it in Retreat Street Park. Very likely, Retreat Street Park is not going to be accessible as a housing during the holiday season. So we're going to give you a list of places. And we're thinking outside the box. As soon as we get that list finalized, I'm going to start sending that to you to start getting your feedback on places that you say, absolutely not, it can't go there, or we're willing to consider that it can go here. We've considered even a couple of private properties that have high visibility that may require an encroachment permit, certainly requires the property owner's consent. That makes it a little more complicated, but we aren't afraid of complicated. So just wanted to tell you, kind of give you that heads up. Some of this will come down to the construction schedule when we receive those bids, but I wanted to go ahead and start worrying you now ahead of time that when we get to October, I expect that to be something that, we look to you for input on. I learned a long time ago not just make those decisions unilaterally. I get y'all in trouble when I do that, and then I get myself in trouble when I get y'all in trouble. So we'll be looking for your input on where to put the Christmas tree. I'm not worried about the Christmas parade. We end up shutting all those roads down anyway. I think we're still going to have a great route when it comes to Christmas break time. If we have to, navigate around that for the construction, there's a chance that we won't. I wanted to go ahead and just kind of put that in your minds now. Give anybody that you love or don't love a chance to give you feedback on what to do with those, that location. And then finally, I want to hand one quick thing over to Ray.
Yes, sir, Mayor and Council. Several months ago, we applied for a grant to do crosswalks near West Middle School, across Wahala Highway, and then down Anderson Avenue at the intersection of Jenkins and Hall Road. Herb had requested that so his youth and participants could get from the middle school to those Hall Road fields safely and easily. And we are proud that those were installed today. So I wanted to share that with you all. We believe it's a small improvement that can have large impact on safety and accessibility for our kids. So thank you all for your support. Ms. Davies sat on the committee that applied for that because we had to have a feedback group. Herb did. Scott was involved with that. So we had some good folks working on it. Thank you all for your support.
Very good. Thank you. All right. Move on to the consent agenda. Item 1 is the approval of August 12 regular City Council meeting minutes. Then we have the consideration of second reading of the ordinance for 215 Lucky Street, the zoning ordinance. You want both of those together, Mr. Bronson?
Yes, sir, Mayor. Those are on your consent agenda because the vote was unanimous.
Right. So do we have a motion?
I so moved to be exempt.
Second.
Any discussion? Call for a vote, please.
Davey?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am.
Dale?
Yes, ma'am.
Adam?
I will recuse myself. I was not at that meeting.
All right, next, under old business, consider the first reading. This is the second reading.
Yes,
right. Yeah, you've got that one.
We apologize.
Yep, this is second reading.
The next two ordinances.
And this is the annexation of the property, Standridge Drive. Do we have a motion?
I make a motion to consider the ordinance annexing property under 100% annexation 99251.
Second.
Motion is second. This is the 40-acre hayfield across from Orchard Park School. Any comments or questions on that? Call for a vote.
Ruth?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Brian?
No, ma'am.
No, ma'am.
Adam?
No, ma'am.
Mayor, with that one not passing, my suggestion to you is that item number 6, because you can only annex 427 Hobson if you annex 151 Standridge. Hobson is not contiguous otherwise.
Correct.
You take no action on the next item.
All All right, we'll skip that action. I'll skip that item with no action. Move on to the next. Presentation and consideration of acceptance of changes to the Commercial Building Improvement Grant. Do we have a motion?
Mayor, can we let her know what that just meant so she's not sitting here?
Ms. Davis, your item did not come up for discussion because the property that's contiguous to you did not get annexed in.
And we're done.
For now. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. No, you're good. I didn't think of that. She was waiting.
Yes.
We need a motion for the next item.
I'll do a motion and presentation and consideration of acceptance of changes to the Commercial Building Improvement Grant.
Need a second.
Second.
Thank y'all for the changes you made. Everything looks good, looks in order. Sorry I missed the meeting, had an issue come up, but does anybody have any questions or concerns about that? Adam, just to fill you in, we just changed it a little bit so that landscaping wouldn't be wood that would rot, and added pothole patching included in it. Anything else? Call for a vote.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Davey?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
All right, next under new business, consider resolution 99-2025-01. Do we have a motion for this one?
I so moved.
Second.
And this is the one recommending the ad hoc regional feasibility study implementation committee.
I've already worn you out with the details.
You got it. Any more questions or comments? Call for a vote, please.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am.
Dale?
Yes, ma'am.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Davey?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
And next, last item, resolution 0909-2025-02. This resolution authorizes the removal of fluoride from the City of Westminster water treatment process. Do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Any more discussion? Call for a vote.
Dale?
Yes, ma'am.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Davey?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you all. Thank everybody for coming. We had a good crowd here tonight, and we've got a lot of stuff done, important stuff done, I think. All hearts and minds are clear. Move to adjourn. All in favor, say aye. Thank y'all. What's the date? The 9th?
The 9th? Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.